pressure is intense.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. 24 hours ago, the bailout seemed like a done deal. Since then, the talks have collapsed, and so has another bank. Washington Mutual is by far the biggest bank failure in American history. We'll have more on that in a moment. But in Washington, House Republicans are fighting tooth and nail against the current bailout proposal. Democrats and the president are on the same page. They want a deal now. Just a few minutes ago, President Bush made some brief remarks.
The legislative process is sometimes not very pretty. But we are going to get a package passed.
We're joined by our correspondent, Jeremy Hobson, as Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis. Jeremy, where do the negotiations stand right now?
What's happening right now is Republicans want to have the plan include insuring private institutions to take on these illiquid assets. Democrats say, we'll go with the plan we have now, the $700 billion bailout, but we're not going to do it unless we have the support of Republicans because we don't want to take the blame all ourselves later on in a month from now on Election Day. And the administration says, guys, the economy is melting down here, so they're under the gun.
Okay, so what are they going to do to bridge the gap?
Well, they're going to meet and they're going to talk. Meetings are resuming this morning. I'm told it's open to both House and Senate Republicans and Democrats. The question of whether House Republicans will show up is up in the air. But I am told that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, will not bring this to the floor unless she has ample support from House Republicans.
Sounds like it could be a long weekend.
That's right.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
In the meantime, stocks continue to lose value. The Dow is down another 113 points this morning to 10,908. The NASDAQ is down 37. The S&P 500 has dropped 16, about 1.5% for those indexes. European shares are down 2% so far. And in Asia, the market's closed 1% lower. On the line with us now is Congressman John Spratt. He's a Democrat from South Carolina. Congressman, Republicans say their constituents are 100-1 against the current bailout package. What are your people saying?
My constituents, those who are calling, are largely saying they simply do not support borrowing $700 billion. But we are hearing the need for this directly from Ben Bernanke, Hank Paulson. The cost of doing nothing could be catastrophic.
But why does the bailout have to be sort of a top-down philosophy? Why can't we go bottom-up and get the money to the people who've defaulted on their loans?
Listen, I'm not enamored with this particular package. If somebody wants to take a different approach to resolve the problem, I'm all for it.
Do you have another idea for how to do this?
I don't have another idea for how to do it except that there should be support for the hapless mortgagors who find themselves in foreclosure, and there should be some controls on executive pay. I think those two things would make Americans feel better about the package.
What's your gut sense about where this is going?
Well, the hard part comes in selling it to the membership of the House and the Senate once it's completed and can be revealed. And then we've got the even more difficult part of selling it to our constituents, to the American people. But we also have people that we should listen to, like Ben Bernanke, who has no axes to grind and who is a straight-shooting guy. When he says that this is a matter of dire consequence, you have to listen.
All right, Congressman John Spratt, Democrat from South Carolina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, September 26th on Marketplace.org. While the debate goes on in Washington, central banks around the world and the Fed are pouring more money into the financial markets. Stephen Beard reports.
The Bank of England alone has lent $30 billion to the money market this morning. The European Central Bank is injecting a similar sum, and the Fed will join the party later today. The action triggered by last night's failure to push through the Paulson bailout and the Washington Mutual collapse. Howard Wieldon is with the BCG Brokerage Group. He says the central bank's money is urgently needed because the major commercial banks are now even more terrified of lending to each other.
banks just want to hoard their cash. They don't want to do anything that smells of risk. They haven't got confidence to do business amongst themselves.
He says that today's central bank intervention is no more than a band-aid. Without a radical measure like the Paulson plan, more turmoil is inevitable. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Congress is so wrapped up in this bailout, it still hasn't passed a budget for the current fiscal year. It has passed a budget patch to keep things operating, but that really doesn't cover all the government's expenses. Daniel Carson explains.
$600 billion isn't much if you're one of the federal agencies not included in Congress's continuing resolution. In fact, that's pretty much most of the federal government, except Homeland Security, Defense, and the Veterans Administration. Steve Colander is a budget analyst with Corvus Communications.
The agencies are kind of stuck. They can't start anything new.
That includes agencies like Health and Human Services, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission. CPSC spokeswoman Julie Valise says the agency won't get the additional $30 million it was expecting.
The agency's going to have to shift resources from ongoing safety projects and what gets done right away and what has to be put on hold.
Agencies will be on hold until March when the continuing resolution expires and a fresh Congress approves a new budget. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Some big players in the housing market aren't waiting on Congress to do anything. Home builders are trying to get creative in their quest to shore up their industry. Rachel Dornhelm has that for us.
There's still some construction going on, but for the most part, companies like KB Homes are trying to sell the houses they've already built. Brad Hunter is chief economist for the industry research firm Metro Study. He says unsure when the market will pick up again, big builders are slashing prices.
The other thing that they're doing is changing their designs to offer smaller homes and taking out some of the more expensive upgrades that had been thrown in.
They're also looking for ways around the tight credit market. Eric Landry is an associate director at Morningstar. He says home builders have come up with some creative solutions.
One of the tools is something called down payment assistance.
That's when the home builder supplies the down payment, but makes it look like it's the buyer's money on the loan approval. When the new federal housing bill goes into effect next month, builders will be banned from doing this. Landry says that's got the industry lobbying Congress hard to keep that option open. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
If you're a Washington Mutual customer, federal regulators say your money is safe. J.P. Morgan is buying most of the bank's operations. Let's bring in Edward Carr, the business editor at The Economist in London. Edward, what does this historic collapse of Washington Mutual tell you about the mess we're in?
I think it tells me that Bernanke and Paulson aren't bluffing here. Some people think that this is all a big game just to try and get Wall Street to bail itself out. I think that that tells you that isn't really the case. There is a real problem here. Bernanke and Paulson are coming in very, very early in this crisis. Usually, as in Japan, for instance, they wait for years. They wait for the banking system to be kind of a smoking ruin before they start doing this kind of stuff. Well, these guys are coming in early. That means, although things like Washington Mutual tell you that, you know, a lot of bank failures are going to happen, that hasn't happened yet. And so, to some extent, everyone else is having to take it on trust, and that makes the politics, which are anyway horrible, makes the politics even harder.
Yeah, but the Fed has already established several instruments, the borrowing windows, things that are available to these banks, and they're not using them. So why do we think that paying $700 billion for these assets is going to make a difference?
Yeah, you're right. The Fed has been trying for the best part of a year, along with other central banks, to unblock the credit markets. We've tried the instruments. That's not worked. And the one thing you know is that if an economy can't get hold of credit, businesses don't work, people can't invest, housing markets don't work, and you get a lot deeper recession than you need to have.
All right, Edward Carr, the business editor at The Economist, thanks so much.
Thank you.
As depressing as this situation is, it's still great fodder for comedians. And I bet you could use a little chuckle this morning. So I'll end the week with a bit from Comedy Central's Colbert Report.
We are on the brink of total financial extinction. Now, granted, it is the same brink we were on yesterday, but today it is much, much brinkier.
We'll see where we are on Monday. Our coverage continues this afternoon and online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.